Sports Radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. It's a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Let's get things rolling. Russell Smith punching the time clock alongside Bear and Marcus Young with you for, well, I'm with you for 2 hours today. And then Bear and Marcus will do whatever it is they do when I'm not here.
Why'd you say it like that?
I don't know. I don't know what you guys do.
We do a show, dude.
Oh, is that what you call it?
You know what we do? We usually take a lot of phone calls, do we not, Marcus?
Yeah, it seems like whenever you leave
like people, the phones light up, dude. I'm not even kidding. But you feel like I coddle the callers? Maybe coddle's not the right word.
No, I feel like you talk to all your buddies before the show and tell them to wait until I leave to call in. Is that what it is? Oh, that's what it is.
There's only one or two callers that I've done that.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
I just need a couple.
So,
I mean, if Jamie finds out you're leaving at some point, he's going to wait to ambush me and Marcus with some of his.
Well, yeah. I mean,
his circular
it's
arguments.
Like when there's a substitute teacher in charge, and the class is going to act up. They know they can get away with more. They know that my firm hand of steady discipline is not ruling over the festivities, and they try and sneak things in.
Excuse me. Steady discipline.
Yes. 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 That's what it is. I get 2 hours. I've only got a couple of topics here I need to get to, and then I'll get out of the way, and you guys can.
I think we may
do your thing.
There it is again, Mark. what do you?
Do your thing. I'm not insulting.
Just,
I'm not cracking.
Not
I'm looking forward to it.
Just kind of patronizing.
I'm proud of when you take the training wheels off and let you guys go and soar like a mighty eagle into the wind.
Well, we haven't had training wheels since, you know, you went on the road this summer.
My vacation was when.
I'm not talking about your vacation with your family.
7 years into it is when you decided that, you know what, I think I could do this on my own. I don't need that guy.
I'm not talking about when you took your family to the beach. I'm talking about when you went on your Don Quixote-like expedition
through
the southeastern United States where you're finding yourself.
I was finding myself, yeah.
What the hell you were doing. Yeah, me and Marcus, you want to talk about whatever it is you do, you know, whatever it is you were doing, me and Marcus wondered.
You make it sound like I was taking ayahuasca with Aaron Rodgers. I went to a couple of baseball games. Like, is that...
I'm just saying, Russ.
I mean, if you, I'm glad you think that I found some sort of
patronizing me and young Marcus Young.
I'm glad you think I found some sort of deep, meaningful insights into the meaning of life and things like that by going to a couple of baseball games. But I'm sorry to disappoint you. I got nothing. I'm still working my own crap out, man. I got nothing for you. Anyway. Yeah, I got a couple things for you. See, Rick Barnes is meeting with the media today. Basketball. Of the official practice, I think, was yesterday, even though they've been practicing for a while. I don't really know when practice starts. I know the season starts here in about a month.
When does practice ever really end? Because even if they're not, you know they're having so-called workouts.
Workouts. You can work with four of the guys, but not five at a time. And then you can
like the coaches can't be present. But Barnes's office, he's deemed the Pratt Pavilion – gym, or you know, the floor
he's
in there.
He's watching on a big screen above the court.
Well, no,
like Big Brother.
He's sitting on the side of the court at some like big folding table. It's his, he calls it his office.
My favorite is in football, they actually have practices in the summer between the start of fall camp and spring practice where you can practice football on the field with coaches. You just can't use a ball. And
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
So they wrap up a towel with duct tape, and that's the ball that they use. That's the rule. You can't use a ball. You can practice on the field. Coaches could be there. You just can't use a ball. That's where the NCAA is right now. Is it in its death throes, just trying to make believe that their rules actually still make sense?
How far you think Milton could hurl one of those Nerf footballs?
With like the long tail on it, and the ones spinny thing?
The aerodynamic thing. He'd throw it out of the stadium, I bet.
Probably. So Rick Barnes is talking hoops. Nothing huge coming out of there. Ready for the season, man. Looks like we got a good team.
I can't wait to see the new guys.
Probably go about 10 deep, I think. They got 12 players, but it sounds like maybe a couple of guys kind of use some seasoning. And I guess they've got one spot if they've found a late add before the end of the year that they could – they could throw in there, but I think they kind of we kind of know the 10 guys that we're going to be depending on. We'll see if you know some of those guys probably maybe 8 or 9 really once the big games get going. But
who do you think are the 9?
Wouldn't it be quicker to say who are the two or three that aren't going to play?
Sure.
I think DJ Jefferson, the freshman from Texas, is going to need a year of seasoning. I think Awaka will be a, like, maybe you bring him in for a couple of minutes here or there, but it sounds like he's a good redshirt candidate. And then I wonder, so then you got 10, and I wonder about Meshack. Like, is he going to be good enough offensively? Like, we know he can defend, and Barnes really likes him, and he's a athletic specimen and everything, but – like, is his offensive game improved at all since last year when it was virtually non-existent? And I think the other 9 will pretty much have – I think you'll see him pretty much every night.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Also, baseball, I saw that on Twitter. Tennessee baseball tweeted out they're playing Wake Forest and Memphis coming up.
And I believe admission to those games is free.
Free, my favorite kind of ticket price.
Fill
I
kind of
feel
up.
Like we could definitely for that Memphis.
I mean, I think the hunger for baseball, Vitello will barnstorm it. He'll come on all the shows and encourage fans to come down there, and they'll engage with social media. As long as it's not 30 degrees outside and overcast and windy and just awful, I think.
I mean, if it's a day like today.
I think you'll get 2,500, 3,000 folks there for a ball game, which in a 4,500-seat stadium is really good.
For basically an off, you know.
And it just hit me as we're sitting here talking about it. I'm really curious to see what they look like.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a completely new team minus the, you know, the pitchers. But, I mean, remember, we replaced basically our entire
everybody
except for our pitching staff. Everybody at every position is going to be brand new.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be interested to see how they line up. I guess –
we did talk about Redmond Walsh joining the staff, right? Or am I just imagining that?
I think we did.
I think we did, yeah. I think we mentioned it. I think it was a note one day.
So, yeah, I mean, when things are going good, man, it's weird to be looking forward to. I mean, we're always looking forward now.
Moving forward.
Way to go, Danny Nonucks.
Ryan Callahan, GoVols 247, is coming up here in about 12 minutes to talk recruiting with us. I've had a lot of people ask, what is the impact of the win over Florida on Tennessee football recruiting? And we'll get the guy who covers it on the reg to give us the lowdown.
The kids seem to really be – the recruits seem to really be enjoying
what
themselves
the
in the
recruits,
video.
What about the recruits, Lane? What about the recruits? What do we need to ask Ryan Callahan? What's –
the 5-star D lineman.
Hobbs?
Yeah. All of it. Tight
end.
He
put in a crystal ball for Vicen Lang, the offensive lineman.
We need him. Because that's what – I don't know if we ever got around to talking about it. But, you know, when we were talking to Jabari last Friday, and you brought the fact that, you know, his crew were 3-1 against Florida – and then when I was talking to Chavis Smith, I mentioned that. It's like, you guys are 3-1. I was like, what do you think was the big difference between your all's crew and everybody else? And he was like, he just started naming off the defensive and offensive linemen.
They're good players, and Florida wasn't as good.
I mean, 2001 Florida team was
2001 Florida was very good.
Could have easily played. If they'd beaten us, they probably would have played for the national championship.
But they dropped off drastically. Once Spurrier bolted and Zook took over, wasn't the same.
No.
Not taking anything away from those guys. Wins over Florida or wins over Florida. What I want to ask Callahan about is if this continues, if Tennessee and 10-2 all of a sudden is not some ridiculous pipe dream.
No, it's not pie in the sky, is it?
I mean, it really should be the realistic goal.
From here, absolutely.
And I know the coaches don't talk about it because coaches are always, well, we don't look at the big picture. We look at the next game, and that's fine. That's as it should be. That's what they need to do. But us as fans and media, we can look at the big picture, and 10-2 should be the goal. Now, that doesn't mean if they stub their toe against LSU, Kentucky, or, God forbid, South Carolina, that the whole season's a failure. But 10-2
would be a special year.
Well, we all talked about it in the preseason, like, it's on paper, it's possible, but nah, that's not going to happen. That's crazy talk. Hey, well, 9-3 is more the great goal here, but 8-4 is reasonable. Now, at this point,
you get to 4-0.
Yeah, you reevaluate.
Anything's possible now. But so we all didn't think that we were going to win both Pitt and Florida. You were making your hypothetical deals with the devil. And
we thought we did. We thought we could, but we didn't believe. I think now we believe. And what I want to know is this. If this continues and Tennessee does go 10-2, we'll say, just for the sake of argument, are there guys in this year's class, the class of 2023, that Tennessee could get back in on? And I've seen already some scuttlebutt about Francis Malangoa, the 5-star offensive lineman that we lost out to Miami on. Is there some stud running back out there? Is there defensive backs out there that may be committed elsewhere?
Linebackers.
Or that just aren't giving Heupel and his staff the time of day because we've been what we've been. But if we go through a whole season ranked in the top 10 here and Hendon Hooker is a Heisman candidate and people are talking about Tennessee as one of the best teams in the country, are there some guys that weren't giving Tennessee series consideration prior to the season starting that will now look at Tennessee seriously? Because we still need players all over the place. And I don't, as great as the start has been and as bright as the future's been, I don't think any of us are saying, oh, yeah, we're right there with Bama and Georgia and Ohio State.
I think we're there. We're all realistic. We're not deluding ourselves.
Yeah, most of us are realistic. Some of y'all are thoroughly deluded.
Yeah. We don't have the defense yet to go toe-to-toe.
I think Bama's on the table. Bama, Georgia, okay. As long as we win one of those, I'd say it'd be a successful season. Oh, really? If we win one of those, it'd be a successful season? Okay. Well,
1-2, the two powerhouse teams.
Meanwhile, back here in Realityville.
But to your point, absolutely and 100%, and I've seen it in my lifetime as a fan, I've seen the scenario play out a couple of times. One was in a good year jump starting the program. Like, Coach Majors built it up in the early 80s, finally got over the hump against Alabama, and then that 85 year. And then he reached another level as far as recruiting and the kinds of players he was getting in. And then that directly led to, late 80s, early 90s. And then you just, success breeds success. I think that was critical. Butch Jones.
Critical.
It's critical.
That we had that win and the atmosphere in there the other night. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better setting for a recruiting visit, could you? Have you seen that picture from when the boys are getting ready to run through the tee and the
hooker
fireworks
picture?
Are going off? The hooker picture's just badass. That ought to be his Heisman.
He's about to drop the damn album of the century.
Yeah. No, the one where it's shot, I think, from the north end zone. It looks like it's a fisheye lens, but
right at the end of the game as the fireworks are going off, the sun's setting and all that?
Yeah, and the orange and white checkerboard crowd. And it's like, I mean, magic.
Pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff. Have we made an announcement? Hurricane Ian, by the way, shout out. I know we got a lot of listeners down there. They're probably not listening today. They probably don't have power. But bigger fish to fry, so to speak. A lot of listeners in the panhandle, Florida, and they're getting battered right now by Hurricane Ian. Wreaking havoc, of course, on the sports world. A lot of football games being moved, both pro and college. And I'll tell you what, from a sports standpoint, what's got my attention right now is they're talking about moving the pivotal series this weekend between the Atlanta Braves and the Mets, who are currently tied with 7 games, I believe, remaining in the regular season. And the Braves and Mets are tied atop the NL East with a 3-game series set to begin Friday night in the ATL, a pivotal series that could tilt the balance of the playoffs. In Atlanta.
Saturday night?
Sold out.
Yeah, I kind of.
Truist Park.
I kind of don't think that's going to happen.
Why not?
Well, because I follow Ella Dorsey on Twitter, and she said Atlanta's going to get about 1,800 gallons of rain per minute dumped on it.
We put a roof or something on that stadium.
You like that song, Marcus?
It's wonderful. I did have some
this
news.
It's really good.
Please don't talk while the chop's going on. Do it, Russ.
They're trying to stop the chop again. I saw that. Braves were at the White House to meet Biden, and his press secretary gave some mealy mouth. Oh, we got to have a talk with the indigenous people at the center of the table, discussions, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all right, whatever. Coming after the chop again. I find it funny. The woke folk had no problem with the chop before the Braves got good last year. Now they get good, and now all of a sudden it's an issue again.
I feel like the woke folk might be Mets fans.
They probably are. What's the deal with the series, Marcus? There, you'll move.
Well, I have it for my top four, but they have some contingency plans for the Mets Atlanta Braves series.
Bring it up to Lindsey Nelson.
Apparently, we've been stealing a lot of his top four.
You have. Yesterday, each of you guys took.
Bro,
one.
Listen, Radio 101. I'm going to coach you up a little bit because I know
here it goes.
I know you guys didn't go to school for this, but here in the radio world,
why
we're
you,
going to
why
we're
you
going to school now.
Me in this,
we're going because you didn't either. We're going. You need to hear it. Radio every 20 minutes. You reset.
That's what I told
you. Reset. It's 3:17. The top four at four. I'm no math major, but I believe that's like 43 minutes away. So not only is it okay that we talk about this now, Marcus, it would be okay if we talked about it again in another 20 minutes, and then you can still do it on your top four at four.
Okay.
quit sitting over there being sour, Marcus.
You're part of it, too. He threw you into this as well.
I did, so it wouldn't hurt your feelings, and you wouldn't feel like you're getting singled out.
Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247, talks Tennessee football recruiting. With us next on Fan Run Radio. Keep it tuned right here. Welcome back. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run app. A variety of ways for you to experience the program this afternoon. We go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines where Ryan Callahan of Go Vols 247 is standing by. Good afternoon, Ryan. How are you, sir?
Hey, man, doing well. How are you?
Hey, doing very well. Well, it's the first time we've talked to you since the season began, and it has gone as well as it possibly could have for Josh Heupel to start things out 4-0, coming off a huge win over Florida. What does the win over the Gators mean for Tennessee's recruiting efforts?
Well, no doubt it's a boost. And I think the biggest thing is just for and they had a lot of visitors on campus this past weekend for that game Saturday, obviously taking full advantage of being kind of in the spotlight nationally and especially regionally in college football, really benefiting from there not being another marquee game in the Southeast that allowed them to get a lot of guys on campus that were highly ranked players. They had a really impressive turnout. I think all those kids who were there, win or lose, I think Tennessee was going to have a good day. But the fact that you win on top of that, just the environment, college game day, they could sense the hunger from the fan base. And a lot of the guys who hadn't been to games before at Tennessee really came away impressed. And even some guys who had been to games before and seen impressive crowds said, whoa, that's the best atmosphere I've ever seen there. So I think they got a lot of benefit from that. And then, yeah, just the 4-0 start, as much as anything. I think a win over Florida certainly boosts that. But just for kids who are looking at Tennessee from afar, or maybe taking a look at Tennessee as one of several teams they're considering, I think that 4-0 start really backs up what Tennessee's been selling, which is, hey, we're on the right track, we're moving in the right direction. And now you got that undefeated start, you're ranked in the top 10 nationally, Hendon Hooker's getting some Heisman Trophy consideration, or at least talk of that. All of that stuff just kind of raises Tennessee's profile, and I think the big picture, more so than just the one win Saturday, kind of has Tennessee a little bit more on the national radar for a lot of these players.
Yeah, specifically, Ryan, I see where you've got a crystal ball in for Vyson Leng, nice-sounding offensive line prospect from down in Alabama. What about the other one, Davin Hobbs from Concord, North Carolina, a very highly touted defensive lineman there who it sounds like it's Tennessee with Alabama and Georgia. These are the kind of teams you want to be recruiting against, the kind of battles you want to be winning if you're going to be able to compete against those programs, Ryan. Where's Tennessee at with Davin Hobbs?
Yeah, I think that's a tight battle, honestly. And I think Tennessee really did take a good step forward with Davin Hobbs. And I think maybe the most encouraging thing for Tennessee coming off that visit is he came away telling us Sunday that he is planning to come back to Tennessee for the Alabama game next month, which makes sense. Those are two of the teams he's strongly considering. And that's not to say that whoever wins that game is whoever's going to land him. But it does give you a chance to kind of see a side-by-side comparison of a couple teams, see where you might fit in the best. And that's it's not about the wins and losses. It's about seeing, he might see on that day where Tennessee's defensive line, might not say they struggled against a team like Alabama or even Georgia. He's going to be at Georgia when they play Tennessee as well. When he sees a game like that, it might give him a chance to see, hey, there's a real opportunity for me to help at Tennessee, seeing the veterans that they have up front, and then maybe sees an opportunity there. So it's not so much about just the wins and losses with a visit like that, but I think the fact that he's going to come back and see Tennessee again, wants to be in that environment again, I think it's a good sign for Tennessee. So I think they're very much in that one. I would consider them kind of a dark horse in a lot of ways in that recruitment, because I think a lot of people assume it's going to be Alabama or Georgia just based on those two programs' profiles. And history would say that there's a lot of truth to that, but I think Tennessee is much more of a factor there than people think. And they've at least got a realistic shot. Now, the bad news for Tennessee, still got to weather official visits to Alabama and Georgia over the next several weeks. But I think that visit this past weekend really helped Tennessee, solidify itself as a real contender in that one. And I think they've at least got a realistic shot as he looks to make maybe a late November decision. So still a couple months away.
Ryan Callahan, GoVols 247 with us as we talk Tennessee football recruiting this afternoon. And Ryan, another guy that Tennessee might be going up against Alabama for, and this one's interesting because you look at the ratings, I think you guys have him a 3-star, maybe a composite 4-star, but Smyrna, Tennessee linebacker Arian Carter committed to Memphis over the summer, and I guess he's just blown up at the start of his high school season. Alabama wants him. Tennessee wants him. Again, recruiting against the tide, always difficult, but this is what you want. You want to be beating Alabama for players. What do you think? Will Tennessee be able to flip this young man from the mid-state?
Well, it's going to be a big battle, and like you said, his stock has just skyrocketed recently. Part of that was because he's not doing the exact things on the field this year that he did last year. So as a junior, he really focused on playing running back at the high school level. So when he was going around to different schools this summer and camping, most schools up to that point saw him as a running back. Memphis and other teams were recruiting him. But then he goes to camps at Memphis and Wake Forest, I believe, were two of them. And he also worked out at linebacker at those schools' camps. And Memphis ended up taking him in July as a linebacker, envisioning playing him on defense. So now he's playing defense as a senior, and his film started to get out early in the season. Wake Forest offered after his first game. Vanderbilt offered about 9 days later. So by the end of August, word started to get out, and then film really started to circulate a little bit more just within the past 2 weeks. And he got that offer from Auburn about 10 days ago. And then it's just kind of taken off from there. Alabama the next day, USC the next day, Tennessee the day after that. So he's it's going to be a big-time battle. The good news for Tennessee, they got him on campus this past weekend for the Florida game. His first time on campus, so even though he's in state, you're still kind of building a relationship there, just like everybody else. So I think they have a foot in the door. They've got a realistic shot there. They're going to get one of his official visits, Alabama as well. And I think Michigan and USC and LSU will probably be the other three teams that get official visits, it sounds like. But that is going to be a battle all the way to the finish. I think Tennessee and Alabama probably the two teams off to the best start there. He's visited both, hasn't visited those other schools that are contenders. So long way to go in that one still, but Tennessee is off to a solid start. I think if you had to give a team the edge right now, it's probably Alabama because they are recruiting him pretty hard and they've impressed him so far. But Tennessee definitely has a shot and is very much in the thick of that one.
Ryan, if this continues, I'm talking about Tennessee's winning ways. You know, people are realistically having 10-win conversations. And if they're able to accomplish that, win 9 or 10 regular season games, do you see the conversation around this recruiting class, the 2023 one, changing for Tennessee at the end in terms of, you know, guys that might be committed to other schools like an Arian Carter giving Tennessee a second look, or even uncommitted prospects who were not seriously considering Tennessee over the summer all of a sudden looking at a program that won more than they thought they would when they were going on the camp circuit and all that?
Yeah, I think it certainly could. Now, I think where it probably helps the most is, you know, last year there were some guys, and I think Tennessee is still filling out its board a little bit for the final stretch run here. You know, coaches will go on the road a little bit to evaluate some guys this week. And so that and continuing to watch film of guys' senior seasons will result in probably some additional offers, especially at positions like defensive line and maybe offensive tackle, where they're still looking for some guys at those positions. And, you know, that's where I think it can help you, that as you kind of get in on new players, and especially where, you know, coaching changes at other schools, for instance, you know, or guys who just might part ways with a school for one reason or another. I think of guys like Tyree West, who ends up at Tennessee last year after being committed to Georgia for a long time. You never know what can happen, what guys might slip through the cracks in a really good team's or really good program's class and end up being realistic possibilities for Tennessee. So we might be talking about guys that aren't even on Tennessee's radar right now. There's always a chance that Tennessee could become more of a factor than it was before for some guys. You just never know with things like that this early. But I think it's the kind of thing that it's going to raise their profile for sure if they have that kind of season. And you want to keep doing two things, winning games and putting guys in the NFL. Those two things, you can't have enough of that. So it's going to be a long-term process, I think, to continue to get Tennessee's name back in the conversation nationally. But just getting to 9 or 10 wins this year, I think, would be a big step forward because it could help that finish. And as much as anything, I think that would give you a big boost going into the 2024 class. I think that's where you would especially see the gains there. I think Tennessee's already in the mix for some really good players in that class. And if you have a strong season on the field this year, it gives you a chance to really back up this class, which is already pretty strong this year, with maybe a really good one next year.
Talking with Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247 this afternoon on The Drive. And Ryan, when we look at this year's class, a lot of fans, I think, are looking at the secondary. Obviously, that is a problem spot for Tennessee right now when you look at the yards the defense is giving up. Now, they've got three corners and three safeties already committed. That's a pretty good influx of talent coming in next season. Talk about some of those guys, if you would. Do you expect any of those guys to be impact players right away? And are there any other names out there that you think Tennessee might be going after before signing day to help this secondary, which is the weak link, it would certainly appear, of this year's team?
Yeah, like you said, they do have a pretty good size. That's already, you know, that's a position Tennessee's kind of undersigned over the past few years. And I would say that's why part of the reason they're kind of in the situation they're in. They didn't fill all their needs at cornerback in some of those years. And they've kind of had to roll with some of the same guys for two or three years in a row at some of those positions. And so that's why you're seeing Tennessee, you know, planning to sign obviously three cornerbacks and three safeties right now, and feeling there's enough of a need at both spots to bring in that kind of depth. The interesting thing is, I think they are hoping to add a fourth cornerback. Now that they're in this position, they're at least very interested and have continued to hand out offers at that position. We'll see if they're able to get some of those guys, but they've handed out some offers out west in particular, still looking at some other guys that we could see them offer at some point in the coming weeks. But one name to watch, maybe Smith Snowden out of Utah, a four-star prospect from Lehigh, Utah. Fast player, good speed, only about 5'10", so size is the concern there, if there is one. But Tennessee really likes his speed. He's a verified 10.74, 100 meters, and maybe even faster than that. I think that's an older time. So definitely a fast guy and someone that Tennessee's evaluated this fall and really liked. So I think you'll see them continue to maybe hand out offers there as they look for a fourth cornerback in this class. But I like the chances of, say, a Jordan Matthews out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the four-star that Tennessee beat out Texas for. I think he's maybe the best positioned to step in early in play, but certainly Christian Conyer, Ricky Gibson, both those guys are going to be in the discussion there too. And I think it's safety. I'm a big fan personally of John Slaughter's game. I think he's a big, fast, rangy safety that can really help Tennessee back there in the long run. So if there's one that's maybe likely to make an earlier impact, I would lean towards Slaughter at safety, and especially Matthews at corner, just given the opportunity there. But they definitely have focused on that position, and they're going to continue to look at corners in hopes of maybe adding a fourth to that group.
Ryan, what about running back? Again, this is a position, and you would think with the numbers that the Heupel offense has put up running the football, not just this year but last year, and going back to Central Florida and Missouri, you would think that this would be an offense that would be very attractive to running backs, and yet they've had problems signing the elite prospects at that position. They've got three-star Will Stallings committed for next year. What's your take on that? Why hasn't Tennessee had better luck recruiting running backs the past year and a half or so under Heupel?
That's a really good question. We get that one a lot, obviously, over on GoVols 24/7. And you know, this year for the 2023 class in particular, I think it's been a bit of a challenging class because it's not a particularly deep running back class. There's some good players out there, but not a lot of great ones. And that position, sometimes when it's not a very deep class, you can see sometimes that it's important to have a class where there's enough good players to go around, because Alabama's got to get theirs. Georgia's got to get theirs. You know, Texas A&M, Miami, whoever it is, Ohio State, all these top programs are the historically, you know, sign top ranked classes and put players in the NFL. They're usually going to get pretty good players at most positions. So you've got to have enough to go around. And if there aren't, that causes, say, Alabama to reach on a guy that maybe would have been realistic for Tennessee in other years, and they end up not being as realistic in that year because it's just thinner. So that's been part of the challenge this year. I think the other might be, and this is something we'll have to wait and see on in the long run, but I think part of it might be just sort of the perception that Josh Heupel's system isn't as run heavy as it might seem to be on the surface. I wonder because so many kids out there, I think, have the impression that if they know much about this offense, it's more of a passing offense, or that it's known for being spread up tempo. They don't think of it as a running offense. I think the ones who take a harder look at Tennessee end up liking the offense and don't worry about that kind of thing. But part of it's just raising Tennessee's profile, continuing to get the program seen in a different light after years of not competing for championships and putting guys in the NFL consistently. And part of it's, you know, maybe for those guys that you can get in the mix for, showing them and continuing to convince them that running game really is kind of the focal point for Tennessee's offense when it's working the way they want it to work. So I don't think that's a big deal, but I do wonder if that's maybe creeping into some players' thoughts. I think the biggest thing this year is, for the most part, just not enough good running backs to go around, and that's kind of caused Tennessee to have to search high and low as opposed to just having a lot of good choices in the Southeast.
Last thing, Ryan, we'll let you out of here. What about DeShaun Bishop over at Carnes? It just seems to me like this – like Tennessee and DeShaun are almost destined to come together at the end. I know he's committed to Coastal Carolina, but maybe it's just here locally. We've been talking about this kid for well over a year now, but it just seems like I see this kid ending up in orange and white. What's your take there?
That kind of goes hand in hand with that conversation we just had. You know, I think there's a real possibility still that it could work out that way. Not ready to say that it's likely to end up that way, because I think Tennessee still is looking at some other options at running back. They just had in a Kentucky commitment, Khalifa Keith, last weekend for the Florida game. That's a guy they're evaluating out of Alabama. So there's still some others. They've continued recruiting Roderick Robinson out of California, who's a UCLA commitment. Probably going to be a tough pull for Tennessee, but they might at least get an official visit there. So So there are other options that might keep them from going back down that road. But, you know, it wouldn't take Tennessee missing on many guys to look around in a month or two and say, hey, we need to take DeShaun Bishop. Or maybe just his play this season forces them to reassess things and decide, you know what, we need to make a push for DeShaun Bishop. Because I think they do want another running back, and I think he's one that's intrigued them for a while. It's just, you know, that he's not been at the very forefront of their thoughts. And so it's been a kind of a juggling act, keeping that relationship going, which they definitely have. He went to the Akron game a couple weeks ago just to kind of keep that relationship going. So Tennessee still has got a foot in the door there, and I'm not ready to rule it out. And I think it's the longer they go without adding another running back, I think the more realistic it becomes that DeShaun Bishop, as you said, could end up being a fit for Tennessee in the end.
All right, he is Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. Ryan, I guess the tenor on the message board over there has changed greatly. It's pretty happy times over there on the checkerboard, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, though. There's never 100% just satisfaction with everything, just the way the conversation works. There's been plenty of hand-wringing over the Tennessee secondary, and, you know, everything you can imagine gets dissected, and that's the beauty of message board conversations. But no doubt, everybody's in a good mood. It's a lot easier to discuss even a team's issues when you're coming off a big win like that. So definitely a pretty good mood overall, and lots to discuss, obviously. It's a pretty fun time when you got 2 weeks to kind of let a win like that marinate.
Yeah, go get in all the discussion with Ryan and the boys over at Go Vols 24/7. Ryan, always appreciate your time, my man. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7 on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. All fan-run callers and guests appear via the magic of the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, and you can experience the magic of Big Orange Phillies for yourself at 6625 Maynardville Pike in Halls. Oh, man, been too long. I got to get out there for a lunch myself here in the near future. Perhaps as early as tomorrow. Would you say anybody up for Big Orange Phillies tomorrow? Marcus, can we get you out of bed for a power lunch at Big Orange Phillies?
We could try. we could try.
Yeah, we'll come over there and lean on the horn at about noon tomorrow. How's that? Is that good?
Sure.
He doesn't sound very enthusiastic.
No, it's not. I'm just, you know,
He'll be a zombie tomorrow afternoon on the show if you go wake him up at noon.
Pump him full of caffeine out there and get him ready to go. Check out BigOrangePhillies.com to see the whole menu and catch up on what they've got coming up for live music on the weekends. The party is on at Big Orange Phillies. We got to take a quick timeout. We'll open those phone lines to you when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Bear, Marcus, back with you. Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. Bear, what did you learn?
That we are very much in it with Hobbs. You know, I mean, we're going up against Alabama and Georgia, so it's going to be a tough hill to climb. But
send in the bag, Rodney. Send in the bag.
I mean, I feel like we've got a shot at it. I mean, Ryan left me feeling that we have some hope.
Yeah.
Unlike years past. The running back stuff is really interesting to me because I don't see us, like, I think we run the ball a lot more than we really think we do.
Heck yeah. We're about 50-50.
I mean, it's usually pretty it always surprises me.
We ran for 225 yards the other day.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of that was Hooker.
Yeah, and a lot of it's just like nickel and diamond, and unlike our passing game where it's like 5, 10, 60. Yeah,
shock and awe.
Yeah, I mean, just absolutely just ferocious onslaught of attacks.
Yeah, I mean, the Bishop kid is interesting. It puzzles me to – because I understand like what you're saying and kind of what Ryan was saying is there's a misconception out there that Tennessee is a pass-happy offense. But I would think for any running back, unless the kid is just like won't take your phone call, if you're a good salesman and you can get him on the phone,
yeah,
or on a Zoom call or whatever and show him, look, these are our rushing numbers. This is what Jabari Small averages per carry. This is what our guys at Central Florida average per carry. Oh, and by the way, these guys are all three stars. you're a five-star. You're an elite talent. You're going to have insano numbers playing in this system. We're going to build it around you. It's not like, oh, we're going to throw it all over the place and then hand the ball to young Mr. Five-Star here every once in a while just to keep the defense honest. No, like, you're an integral part of our game plan.
Yeah, you're a weapon, and it makes it – I mean, you got to stay balanced. Even, I mean, call it pass happy, but, you know, the hypo offense, I mean, you've got to be able to run it because, I mean, if defenses want to sit back and try and just go nickel and dime on us, then we just run the ball.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the hypo offense.
We had this thought during the break here. Regarding DeShaun Bishop. So he's committed to Coastal Carolina, and it doesn't sound like any other big-time schools except for us are sniffing around.
Yeah.
There is a new school of thought. You could let him go to Coastal Carolina, be a Chanticleer, and just monitor the situation.
Yeah.
If he blows up, if he has a good freshman year or a good sophomore year, and you're saying, okay, I think this kid could play in the SEC.
Okay.
Then you call him up, I'm sorry, because tampering is illegal. You get a guy, you know, to call him up and say, "Hey, just
contact somebody out in Carnes."
we've been watching you. You've done a great job here playing double-A ball. We'd like to call you up to the big leagues. Oh, by the way, here's $1 million of NIL money.
Yeah,
like you could. What's stopping you from doing that? I mean, with all apologies to Jamie Chadwell, the 3-and-out boys would be devastated.
There's probably nothing. My whole deal is just, I mean, if you got the scholarships, and it sounds like we do, and you whiff on some of your others, what's it hurt just to bring the kid
in? Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that's
what we're
doing. I
laid out the scenario for you. You go ahead and I'd rather bring a kid in, and if it doesn't work out and he doesn't, you know, reach his full potential here, and it just doesn't work out, that's one thing. What I can't stomach is a Knoxville kid ending up, Kentucky, and then balling out and then making it into the NFL. And then it bugged me for like the next – I can't even enjoy watching Randall Cobb play football anymore.
Well, it sounds like they're just kind of keeping him warm right now, stringing him along basically while they shoot their shot with what they consider to be better prospects at that position, and knowing that if they strike out on this – Khalifa Keith, who's committed to Kentucky, and Roderick Robinson, who's committed to UCLA, and whoever else they might try and get in on, that
why the hell would you want to go to UCLA right now? They got like 10 people at their games, dude.
Yeah. Well, but that kid is also getting interest from other he's a 4-star, so like I think he's looking at Bama and A&M and some of those schools. Football season is underway, so now's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is sign up using our promo code DRIVE1, that's DRIVE and the number one, to get started. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from money line to point spreads and player props, and we love the same game parlay. They are the king of the same game parlay over there at FanBook, man. They got it all. You can combine multiple bets for your chance to win an even bigger payout. This SGP. Marcus is a big fan. Have you hit on any of those yet?
Man.
All it takes is one.
The Steelers-Browns game.
You got close.
So close.
Yeah, close. That's what keeps you coming back, right?
You know, hardest part was I had two left. I needed Fairmuth to get 40 yards and the Steelers to win. And in like the fourth quarter near the end, Fairmuth got 40 yards.
Like, come on!
He got 40 yards on two catches. Yeah. I was like, all right, Steelers, just pull this thing out. And then they didn't.
It'll change the way you watch football. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Sign up with our promo code DRIVE1 for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code DRIVE1 and make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. We go to to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, where Geraldo is up first today. What's up, Geraldo?
It feels so good to be a champion over the Gators.
That was kind of Butch Jonesy. We haven't won a championship yet, have we, Geraldo?
Well, okay.
Champions of
good
life.
Point. Good point by you. Good
be
point
kind.
By you. It's just, I mean, we didn't have to die, right? I said it was victory or death for our program. We're still here.
We're still here.
We won.
Yep. Okay,
so maybe we are champions of life because we're not dead. Okay? So it's just nice. But you guys were talking about running backs there for a second, and I've just been wondering here lately, even since before the Florida game, if Tyon Evans were able to stay at Tennessee, how electric, like even more electric this offense could be. Because, like, I think that we are lacking, like, someone who can just take off and run, like, all the way down.
Like a home run hitter.
Yeah.
The problem is,
Tyon Evans was that.
He was.
Yeah, but you know what? Go back and look at last year. He really only did that in, what, two games?
Well, I mean, it was
Missouri and South Carolina.
He was banged up. He's banged up. But, I mean, he's – how's he doing at Louisville? Looks like he's averaging 4.8 yards a carry, 45 carries, 215 yards. Got a couple touchdowns, three touchdowns. I think he's a nice back, but I'm just like, can you imagine? We used to just have a stable, and I'm not going to go back down memory road and get up on the porch this afternoon, but, I mean, you got to upgrade the talent level at that position, and we're thin now, man, which is – the thing that's scary is we were able to get by with Small and Wright against Florida, but Sampson wasn't available, and it doesn't sound like Justin Williams Thomas is ready. So,
yeah, we got to. Sampson's got to get healthy.
Yeah, I was about to say, Bear, I really hope we get to see him in some games, in significant games, where, like, let's see what he can do. I guess the issue with him, and it seems like this is a hypo thing. Like, he doesn't necessarily trust the more inexperienced ones until you really, really prove yourself on the field during a game.
Well, it's because it's the pass blocking. He doesn't want to get his quarterback
killed.
Yeah, that's
what I was about to say.
And I saw there were at least three, if not four, plays against Florida where Jalen Wright and Jabari Small both stepped up into the, you know, and took on some absolutely vicious hits to protect Hooker. Yeah.
By the way, you know Dylan Sampson, a Baton Rouge native, would love to be healthy and get some snaps in this next game.
I think Sampson's that dude as far as being a home run hitter.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he's got that top speed. What do you think, Russ?
I just hope we can see him.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we get to see it. And is he durable enough at 190 pounds? Like to?
He needs to put on about 10 or 15, maybe 20.
Geraldo, got to run, man. Thanks.
Love you guys. Bye.
Love you too, buddy. My wife loves it that Geraldo has made it come, that he tells us that he loves us.
He does that with everybody.
Yeah.
Every aspect of his life.
I'm getting used to it.
It's kind of weird at first.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Hour number two coming up.